Well, first, let me just say thanks to Jonathan for really moving us into the spirit of Advent 4 and the waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. Thanks, Jonathan. That was heroic. A Salvadoran Mary listens in shock and disbelief at the Annunciation. A European Mary bows, her knees indecently aflame, to tell Elizabeth her news. An African Mary stands, cradling the life that springs in her womb. And an Asian Mary labors to bring forth the light coming into the world. Here at UniLU, the multiplicity of images we celebrate as God begins with Mary, who for over 20 seasons now has borne Christ anew each year upon these Advent banners. In the Magnificat we sang twice from Luke this morning, it is Mary again who paints a picture of Christ on the way. He will be a child of promise, transfiguring lowliness to blessedness, lowliness to blessedness through the mighty power of God. He will be a child who, when we add the voice of that Matthean evangelist, can claim the royal line of King David and trace his Jewish heritage before that to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he will also be a child whose family tree includes outsiders to Israel. Outsiders like Rahab, the prostitute who kept Joshua's Jericho spies from harm, and the Moabite Ruth, whose love for her mother-in-law Naomi transcended other ties to nation and family. Even Uriah the Hittite, who was married to Bathsheba before the adulterous King David conspired to cause his death, is memorialized in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, though he is certainly not an ancestor according to the technicalities of kinship laws. But then, technically, of course, none of these is truly an ancestor to Jesus, until Joseph, from the stores of his own humility and love, gifts the whole lot of them to his adopted son, thus granting Jesus the status of origins, within their culture. Concerning Jesus' primordial origins, though, it is the Johannine evangelist who tosses us all the way back to the beginning, to before God began to create, when the earth was only a formless void wrapped in darkness, awaiting divine speech. Jesus Christ was that word God spoke at creation, John says. That wisdom spirit through whom all things came into being. Our origins and the origins of the whole wide world through him. And now, the evangelist continues, that same word which sounded flesh into being has itself taken flesh to live among us visibly, full of grace and truth. The child who comes from so many different people in the Matthew and Luke accounts is affirmed as the God who comes for all people in John's account. This seems to be a satisfying summary of incarnation, does it not? The child who comes from so many different people is the God who comes for all people. Especially we can say that as the fourth banner hangs over us, signaling, witnessing, testifying to the birth for which we've waited these 4 weeks. But we are still at the beginning of a story here, and not only at an end. That is a birth, after all, a beginning, not only an end. So many questions continue to swirl in the minds of philosophers and in the hearts of mystics. They ask, how does our God, active in the breath of the Holy Spirit today, show grace and truth enfleshed at Christmas in our time and place? And how will God show such grace and truth when Christ comes again? When Christ comes again. What will the explorations of these questions mean for us and for how we choose to live in flesh among others likewise enfleshed? Some of the theological thinkers working on these questions today redirect our attention to this concept of origins. Origins as something plural rather than something singular. Origins, they say, are moments that are dispersed throughout life, throughout even divine life, displacing but not erasing what has come before, and setting a pattern in place that allows for an open future. I'll say it again. Origins are moments that are dispersed throughout life, moments throughout life, even divine life, that displace but do not erase all that has come before. And they set a pattern in place that allows for an open future. We comprehend this in our human bodies to an extent. Cartilage hardens to bone, and one set of teeth displaces another. In that case, it does displace what came before. The tears in smooth skin are overwritten in scars and calluses. Hair appears and maybe disappears. Muscles grow and shrink. The hazy gaze of the infant crystallizes, only to cloud again with age. We are not the same people at 25 that we were at 5, nor at 65 that we were at 35. But neither are the 5-year-olds and the 35-year-olds completely gone either. Such staggering multiplicity within each of our own bodies bears witness to the possibilities that are open to a God who has chosen the instability of human flesh for revelation. The artistry of the banner painters in creating so diverse a group of God-bearers, and the artistry of the church in including the 4 Gospels, 4 in Scripture, mirrors back to us the artistry of God's original choice to put on the flesh. Flesh, a medium that stretches out into every open future, yours, mine, and ours, assuring us that God will save anew in each time and place. May it be so.
Amen.